You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
I cover all things food, from cooking to gardening to fabulous ingredients to junk food, health, sustainability, even policy. You might say I'm obsessed with everything about food. Food is the one substance that connects everything to everything else, and it connects us all. Not only can we not live without it, not only does it determine much of what goes on in the world, but we love it. Hi, it's Mark Bittman, and welcome to Food. We have an interesting, fun, hilarious, unusual show for you today with a couple of Sesame Street monsters, as well as one of the humans behind Sesame Street, the Senior Vice President of Curriculum and Content at Sesame Workshop. Really, really fun show. So hope you'll stay with us. As always, feel free to call us with questions, answers, comments, anything you like. 833-FOOD-POD. That's 833-366-3763. Or email us at bittmanpod@gmail.com. Okay, here we go. The monsters wanted to know my favorite tofu recipe, and I do cook tofu a lot and in many different ways, but I keep coming back to tofu jerky because it is such a great snack. Start with a pound of firm tofu. Sometimes it's being packaged in 14-ounce containers now, but that'll do. Heat the oven to 225. Line a baking sheet with some parchment. Cut that tofu first horizontally and then the long way. You're aiming for 1/8 inch thick slices. Could be a tiny bit more if that's what you'd rather do, but 1/4 inch is too thick. Put them on the parchment and it's fine if they're touching, and then bake them for about 30 minutes. You can turn once, it's not essential, but bake for about 30 minutes. They'll start to dry out and shrivel up. In the meantime, stir together 2 tablespoons of mirin, or 1 tablespoon of honey thinned with 1 tablespoon of water, 1 teaspoon each of grated ginger and minced garlic, and a couple tablespoons of soy sauce. You might want salt, a little bit of salt. Brush the tofu with that after 30 minutes. Bake it for another 15 minutes or so. Brush it again. Bake it for another 30 minutes. This is a very much a long and slow process. And do that once or twice more if you need to, until the tofu is chewy but not dry, not crunchy. Although, believe me, plenty of times I overcook it. It's crunchy. It's still pretty good. But you want it kind of jerky-like, pliable, chewy, dry, but not crisp. Let it cool completely before you take it off of the sheet if you can resist it, and it'll store in a sealed container for, you'll finish it. It'll store for a week or so. Enjoy that. I started watching Sesame Street when I was a sophomore or junior in college, guessing it was 69, long before my first kid was born, and with friends of mine, often in an altered state of consciousness, sitting on the couch, lying around on the couch, chilling with my favorite monsters, who were at the time, I guess, Cookie Monster, Bert and Ernie, Grover, plus Gordon, Maria, Bob, Mr. Hooper, the rest of the gang, the old gang. It was really fun, extremely comfortable, and it took on a new level of comfort once I did watch it with my kids, who were presumably intended audience. And I got to revisit it yet again once my grandson started watching TV. Now, incredibly, Sesame Street is starting its 52nd season this week. And in honor of that, I interviewed 2 of the show's most lovable current monsters, Cookie Monster and Gonger, who were stars of the show's Monster Foodies. So we do get to talk about food. And yes, I did get to do that. And you do get to listen to it. And it's every bit as much fun as you think. I also want to call out the incredible amount of work that goes into making Sesame Street, which I was made even more aware of after talking with the esteemed Rosemary Trulio, who's Senior Vice President of Curriculum and Content at Sesame Workshop. My chat with her is after my chat with the monsters, so be sure to keep listening for more of that sweet, sweet Sesame content that we all love. So I'm ecstatic to say that today we have Cookie Monster and Gonger, and together they are
Monster Foodies! Yes, that's our trademark intro.
It's a pretty great trademark intro. And the first time we've had non-human foodies on the show. So there you go.
Yeah, we did it. First monsters to make it.
Absolutely. Hi, Cookie and Gonger. It's all right if I call you Cookie?
Please, yes. Feel free.
That's his first name.
Yeah.
Totally aghast to meet you, and my grandson Holden's going to be out of his mind to hear that I talk to you. I have been meaning to call into the foodie truck, but have been struggling to figure out what I want to ask you to make. So, what are your favorite things to cook?
Yeah, El, we can make you anything you want, Mark. What you want? You're feeling a little bit hungry? We can make you something. Don't worry. We'll make you anything you want.
Gonger's a master chef. He can make anything. But you know, you can't go wrong with cookies. Please, you want cookies? We got them.
Yeah, we got them for a very short while.
Yeah, you got to get them quick. Get them while they're hot.
Cookies is good. So you guys sound like you know each other, and you look like you're close friends, but are you close friends outside of the kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're buddies.
We're buddies. And, you know, I'm thinking about hiring, you know, we're going to rent a little place, live next door to Cookie Monster, above the laundromat, maybe.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's open. Yeah, you can live there.
I saw it's empty. Nobody's living there. I'm going to move in.
Do you ever have dinner parties together for your friends?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
That's very massive.
Yeah, you know, Gonger likes to try out new recipes with all our friends.
Yeah, sometimes I like to make a nice barbecue. We bring our friends over. We have some fun. Hey, you can come too, Mark. You're invited.
Yeah, you know what? Mark, you're invited next time.
Okay, I'm totally into it. You know, often when two people cook in the kitchen, they disagree about what's going to happen. I'm wondering how you guys resolve that.
We like a well-oiled machine.
No.
We like a well-oiled skillet. We never, ever disagree. We always agree exactly on what to eat, right, Gonger?
Well, yeah, I mean, sometimes. But we're on the same page. Me and Cookie Monster, Yeah.
I mean, you know, if me want like a salad, you know, me love lettuce and tomato and avocado and so does Gonger, right?
I mean, you mostly like cookies, Cookie Monster. Let's get it straight. I mean, cookies are the thing that you like to eat.
Me do love cookies, but yeah, me eat other things.
No, Cookie, you don't just eat other things, Cookie. You just eat cookies every day.
No, Gonger, you're not hearing me.
Listen, Cookie, I'm looking at you. Every day, the cookies.
No, me love cookies, but me eat other things.
You are just every time I look at Mark, I think the answer is yes. We do disagree.
You agree about cookies.
You know what? Let's agree to disagree.
Okay.
You know, why don't we disagree to agree? How about that?
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, that's terrific. Okay.
Whose idea was the foodie truck? How did that happen?
Well, it was Gonger's brainchild.
Oh, Cookie, we were working at the Furchester Hotel in the kitchen, and we said, look, we're onto a good thing here with this business. Let's get a little side hustle. So we got ourselves a foodie truck.
The timing was great, I think. I'm wondering if you've ever visited a blueberry farm. This is obviously a loaded question. And if you could tell me a little about that.
Wow, how did you know?
Incredible, huh?
You do your research.
Wow.
You're a big fan of monster foodies.
I'm impressed. Yeah, we went to the blueberry farm. Oh, we learned a lot about the blueberries. Now, Mark, you might think that the blueberries grow on trees or on vines or in little cardboard cartons, but oh, no, baby. Nah, they grow on blueberry bushes.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes they called starberries.
You know that? You know what? You know what? You want me to tell you what? I'm going to tell you what.
Tell them, Gonger.
You listening? Okay, I'll tell you what. Because when you turn them upside down, they have a pointy little star shape on them. It's so pretty.
Yeah. And oh, you know, and they're not always blue. They start out like green, then they turn like pink, like Gonger pink. And then they finally turn blue. And when they blue, that means that's when you get to pick them.
Yeah,
we learned that. Yeah.
That star thing I did not know. That's really cool. The other thing about blueberries, I think, is that they're pretty much international. Like, they span the globe. Not every place has them, but many, many places have them.
Yeah, they are really exciting food because if you got a bowl of blueberries, sometimes you're going to get one and it's going to be so sour. And sometimes you're going to get one and it's going to be really nice. It's very exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah. And Gonger, it's blueberry.
Blueberry.
No, blueberry.
Blueberry.
You're adding an extra buh in the middle. Blueberry.
Blueberry.
Okay, forget it. Moving on.
Moving on. One of my favorite things to do, actually, if we're talking about kitchens, is scrambling tofu, sort of like you scramble eggs.
Yeah.
I know you've been cooking with tofu lately also. Did you learn anything about that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Well, let's hear it.
What you got, Gonger?
Well, we learned that tofu is made from soybeans. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
I was so shocked. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they grow in little pods. Right? Yeah. And yeah, I want to hear about what you do with them, Mark. What do you do?
Teach me. I want to learn.
You want to learn from Mark.
Two things I will say about tofu. One is I love to make tofu jerky, which is basically you cut tofu into slices and bake it for a long, long time with spices until it's sort of chewy.
Oh,
I love
now
that.
Num.
Really good. Really good.
Tofu jerky, yeah.
And the other thing is, I don't know, this is not about making them, but in tofu, when you make tofu, you use soybeans, you make a milk out of the soybeans, and then you curdle that milk with whatever, usually something acidic, and this skin forms on the top of the milk before the tofu curdles fully. This dry kind of like pudding skin forms on the top of tofu, and you can take that off. And eat those tofu skins. And that's the best part. That is
yummy,
really
yummy.
Hey, Mark.
Really good. Yes.
How do you milk a tofu?
How do you milk a tofu? You grind the soybeans and soak them in water. I know that was a joke, but okay.
No, I want to learn. I'm here to be educated by the professional.
Well, I could come to the truck and show you how to do it. It's pretty simple.
That's a good idea.
You know, we'll just drive over and pick you up.
That would be awesome. Okay. I'm only 60 miles away.
We like a road trip. Road trip, Gonger.
Yeah, oh boy, yeah. You look outside the window. When you see the big orange food truck with the big eyes on top, you know that's me and Cookie Monster outside the door with him.
Okay, I'll be right out as soon as you get here.
Oh, I'm excited.
Sweet potatoes. Did you know that they were grown in the ground?
Yeah, you know, sweet potatoes, they just like regular potatoes. But get this. They sweet.
Yeah. And they're not just yummy. Oh, no, they're beautiful, Mark. They come in so many different colors, like orange and purple and white and yellow.
Yeah, it's a veritable potato rainbow.
Were you just at a sweet potato farm? Is that why you know so much?
Yeah, we spent a whole afternoon there.
We had a great time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Those farmers are very nice people, Mark. You should go and visit them one day.
I visit them frequently, but maybe not those particular ones. Yeah.
Yeah. You could do so much with sweet potatoes. You could do, sweet potato fries, mashed sweet potatoes.
Sweet potato pancakes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hey, Cookie.
Yeah.
We should try to make sweet potato waffles next time.
Wait, how about sweet potato cookies?
Cookie Monster.
How about that, huh?
Don't do it. No, stop.
All right, some personal questions now. I'll bet you have a secret stash of cookies in that truck.
Well, you know, me not like to hide cookies.
You just like to eat them.
Me not like to make cookies secret. Me like to have them out and open for all to enjoy. You should never hide a cookie.
Who's all?
What do you mean? For all, everybody. Me like to share me cookies.
You like to share your cookies, but mostly you enjoy them, Cookie Monster.
Me do like to eat cookies. Yeah. Me have hard time not eating cookie. But, you know, me do like to share them.
So you're denying having a secret stash in the truck.
Me no have secret stash of cookies. Yeah.
I might have mentioned that I started watching Sesame Street back in the early 70s, and I wanted to say how much I miss Gordon and Maria, which I had a major crush on Maria, I have to say. So do you talk to them at all? How are they doing?
They're doing fine. You know, I always send Maria some toast because it always seems like she has a broken toaster. So I send her every day. I put a little bit of toast in an envelope and I send it to Maria. And Louise can have some if he wants some. I don't know if he wants them.
Yeah, me have hilarious text chain going with Bob, Maria, Gordon, Susan.
Wow,
Louise,
really?
Alan, Gina, Chris.
Okay, Master's on a group chat. Oh, because you know that Gordon is Chris's uncle. So we see him every now and then.
Yeah, me talk to them all the time.
please send all of those people my love, even though they have no idea who I am, but still.
I'm going to give them a little kiss just for you.
I appreciate that. I don't know whether you eat together or not, but we ask all our guests what they had for dinner last night.
We didn't eat together last night, did we?
No, we did not. No. What did you have?
I had a lovely vegetable lasagna.
Oh!
I got some red peppers, some eggplant, some tomato sauce, some white sauce, some mozzarella cheese.
Oh, boy. Wow, you went all out.
Olive oil. I made a nice meal for me.
Sounds great.
What did you have, Cookie Monster?
Guess what me had? It start with letter C. What? Guess what? Yeah. What do you think we had?
Go on, Mark.
Cheese.
Oh, chicken cacciatore.
Oh, two C's.
Yes. And then.
You make that yourself?
Me did. It turned out me learned from the best gonger. Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Mark?
Yeah, exactly, Mark. Mark taught me this, the recipe. He gave me the recipe. We did have cookie for dessert, of course. Me have to have cookie. What did you have for dinner, Mark?
I had this thing I've been making, lamb stew with prunes, walnuts. Whoa.
Yummy.
Lots of carrots, a little bit of tomatoes. Really good. Lamb neck.
You need to give us that recipe.
I can give you that.
We can make that in the food truck.
Maybe you can send us some. You have a catapult?
If you drive the truck up, I'll give you some. Otherwise, I'm eating the leftovers for dinner in 2 hours.
Oh, we better be quick.
We got to get there in 2 hours, Gonger. Start up the engine.
Okay.
Oh, wait, me drive the truck. Me gonna start it up.
I'll start the engine. You drive the truck.
Okay, me got it.
Well, thank you for joining us. I can't tell you what a gas this has been. I'm wondering if you would mind saying a special hello to my grandson, Holden.
Yeah, of course we say hello to Arden. Arden, this is me, Ganga, from the food truck, saying hello to you. And my friend is here, too.
Yeah, hi, Holden. This Cookie Monster. It's so nice to meet you. Yeah, maybe we could get together and, have some cookies one day. That'd be terrific.
Yeah,
maybe you could come by the
food
truck.
That sounds like a party.
Yeah, let's do it. Holden, come on over to the foodie truck. Love to have you.
Cookie party.
Thank you.
Hey, Mark, I got a question for you. I'm not finished yet. Wait a minute.
Okay. All right. Shoot.
Which recipe are you going to send me? I want your favorite recipe.
Well, you want that lamb recipe. It really is good.
Is that your favorite?
It's my favorite this week, I can tell you.
What's your favorite last week?
What was my favorite last week? The problem is I can't remember. I just cook all the time and it just goes right out of my head.
Hey, we could be twins.
I'll send you the tofu jerky recipe because you'll really like that.
Yeah.
I don't want the recipe. Just put it in an envelope, the food, and send me the food, okay?
When we come visit the truck, we'll bring some.
I can't wait.
All right, me either. You guys are so good-natured. I really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Mark. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Nice love guy. You.
Love you. Bye, Gonger.
Bye, Cookie.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more food in just a minute. Rosemarie, thank you so much for joining us. Really great to have you here.
Great to be here. Thank you, Mark.
You've been at Sesame Workshop for 20 years.
25.
Excuse me.
Yes, it'll be 25 this March.
I'll say it again. You've been at Sesame Workshop for 25 years, and your job seems incredibly involved and multifaceted. Can you just talk a little bit about it, how it's evolved and where you're at right now?
What's wonderful about my job is I'm constantly learning because we're always identifying what are the current needs of children and how best to create a curriculum so that we can then create content to meet those needs. Sesame's origin was an experiment. How can we harness the power of television? Now is how to harness the power of media, because there's so many media platforms, to reach children and to educate children. And so I'm always learning. And it's a wonderful experience, which is why I've stayed around for 25 years.
I know the yes-no answer to this. I'm looking for some detail. So how's the workshop's approach to food and food content, et cetera, changed and evolved? And where have you landed? Where are you at now?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because health has always been a part of our curriculum. It's one of the content cornerstone domains, but it has evolved. It started about, I would say, 17 years ago, as we were starting to figure out what would be the next curriculum focus. So I should just explain that every year, while we address all school readiness skills, we hone in on a particular need to keep our show current and up to the best practices research. And to hone in on nutrition, every year we have a curriculum focus. We bring in all the advisors. And we were advised that it's really important for children to be open to trying new foods. We also know that it takes multiple attempts or multiple tries before you could say, I don't like this food or I like this food. And so not to give up, but also not to deem any food as a forbidden food. And when you do that, then children, you know, they tend to want that forbidden food even more. So we introduced this language of there are anytime foods and sometimes foods.
Perfectly logical. It should be universal throughout society.
Right. And so that really helped us set the stage, so to speak, so that we could explore a range of foods, but help children make choices and to give parents the language to say, this is a sometimes food. We can't eat cookies all the time. We can't have dessert after every dinner meal. And so that brought up Cookie Monster, because we have a monster who loves to eat cookies. And so we used Cookie Monster as a model for children to learn how there are these wonderful fruits and vegetables and anytime foods, and how this notion of eating things in moderation is really a key message. And to eat a rainbow of colors, that was another message, right? Mm-hmm. To introduce a range of colors so that the children who just want to eat those white foods, we could introduce all these wonderful array of foods.
I mean, I watched a little bit of Sesame Street even before I had kids, but I certainly watched it in the 80s almost daily. And, you know, you had this character whose basically running joke was that he stuffed his face with cookies and nothing else. And turning that around must have been an interesting process. Some of that, I think, evolved during the introduction and evolution of the foodie truck. Yeah.
It's a really good question. If you're going to introduce a healthy habits for life curriculum, and you're trying to talk about anytime foods and sometimes food, what do you do with a character like Cookie Monster? So that came up quite a bit in our planning sessions, but also in how to address story on Sesame Street. So first, Cookie Monster eats everything. You know, he'll eat a table, he'll eat tablecloths, he'll eat a phone, but his love, his true love is cookies. And he doesn't have much impulse control. He sees a cookie, he wants to eat it. And that's another component of healthy habits, right? How do you have delayed gratification, knowing that you can't always eat everything the moment you see it, especially sometimes food. So we decided who better to use to help kids build these healthy habits was to use Cookie Monster, because we wanted to recognize that children are drawn to the sweets and the sometimes foods. And we have to evolve him. And when we did, we got some pushback from fans, adult fans, saying, are you turning Cookie Monster into a veggie monster? Are you turning Cookie
Food
Monster
police.
Into the Pilates monster, right? And no, he still eats cookies. We've not transformed him, but he does play a critical role in helping us help kids understand more about foods and how they impact our body. And then it evolved to the foodie truck. And what's wonderful about the foodie truck is that children are learning through this segment where foods come from. And that's part of our science curriculum, because children think, well, you just go to the store and you buy it. Well, they are grown. And these, what we call process films, going to a farm and seeing that food item and seeing the stages of its development and then how it's then shipped to the store and then how it's used in food preparation. is a wonderful segment. It highlights the aha for children. You know, I didn't know that. And that's a lean-in moment, but it's also building their science and health knowledge.
It's very Mr. Rogers, actually, because he did that stuff, not just with food, but, you know, we all remember those factory segments. He obviously loved going to factories. And yeah, I loved that stuff as an adult. But I also do remember watching shows that were production shows and even shows about agriculture back in the 50s when I was a kid, because that stuff is fascinating. That stuff is really interesting. And there's not enough of it. So it's wonderful that you're doing it. I don't know what the percentage of children watching Sesame Street are joined by their parents, but it's got to be really significant. And I wonder how you're addressing parents directly or indirectly in the show, how you're encouraging parents to talk to their children about food, what you're encouraging them to say about it. I know this must be something that you're thinking about.
No, absolutely. And that was something that was thought quite a bit from the very beginning. Sesame Street is live action. And of course, we incorporate animation as well, but it's a street. And it's a street that is diverse and it's inclusive, but we have a human cast. And that human cast is so important. I often say to parents, when you watch Sesame Street with your child, watch it through the lens of a parenting show, because our human cast is modeling how to talk to your child and how to answer their questions, how to guide their play. And there's language that you could use when the show is over and you're extending the learning with your child. So what we know about Sesame is that because it's written on two levels and there's lots of humor for the adult, we also bring in celebrities. The celebrities are for the adults, but never at the expense of a child. So we really are creating it as a dual audience. We want to invite the adult in, so it's not a, oh, that show is only for my child, I'm not going to watch. We want you to co-engage because we know that the learning will be enhanced if you are watching along, because you're learning as well and you're extending the learning when the show is over.
So last question is something I ask everyone, which is, what'd you have for dinner last night?
Oh, last night I went out to dinner with a friend and I had salmon over mashed potatoes and spinach.
There you go. I was sort of hoping, I mean, I know it's terrible, but I was hoping you'd have some like fabulous Italian-American home-cooked meal for us, but there you go. Okay, well, Rosemarie, thank you so much for joining us. It's really been interesting and a pleasure, and it's going to make a great podcast with this mix of you and two monsters.
Oh, I can't wait to listen. And thank you, Mark, and thank you, Kate, for thinking of us and including us in your podcast.
After I talked with the monsters about sweet potatoes, I practically rushed to the stove to make one of my favorite November dishes, which is whole wheat pasta. I use farfalle for this. Whole wheat pasta with roasted sweet potatoes. Such a great combination. So heat the oven to 400 degrees and grease a rimmed baking sheet with some olive oil. You want to be able to hold all the sweet potato that you're going to use in just one layer. So make sure the pan's big enough or use two pans. You want about a pound of sweet potatoes peeled and cut into 1-inch cubes. Spread those out on the sheet and sprinkle them with salt and pepper. Toss with a couple tablespoons of good olive oil and roast them until they brown about 15 minutes on the bottom. Scatter about a tablespoon of garlic over the top. Toss them and continue to roast until they're browned and tender. It's going to be about 30 minutes total, 35 minutes. I did say to heat the oven to 400, didn't I? If not, do that. While that's all happening, you can bring a large pot of water to a boil and salt it, and then cook about a pound of whole wheat pasta. As I said, I use farfalle for this. Do not overcook it. Start tasting it pretty early, like after 5 or 6 minutes. It should be quite al dente. Drain it, save some of the cooking water, a cup or so, and drain the pasta. Then return the pasta to the pot with the roasted sweet potatoes, a quarter cup or so of chopped parsley or chives, red chili flakes to taste. I'd start with half a teaspoon or so, and toss all of that with another tablespoon or two of olive oil and over very low heat, toss this and add enough of that pasta cooking liquid to make the whole mixture saucy. Taste and adjust for salt, pepper, chili flakes, whatever you like, and serve immediately. I would say cheese, Parmesan is optional for this, but good. Have fun with that. Thank you a million times over to my first non-human guests, Cookie Monster and Gonger, and to the brilliant, wonderful, totally fun Rosemary Trulio. You can follow Sesame Street on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever else, at Sesame Street. I guess I don't need to spell that one for you. And the new season of the show begins on HBO Max on November 11th. Folks, if you liked today's episode, and if you're still listening, I can assume that you did, then please subscribe to Food with Mark Bittman on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you like to listen. It would be real helpful if you left us a 5-star review on Apple, and detailed reviews are the best way for new listeners to discover the show. You can find the recipe from today's show in the episode show notes or at bittmanproject.com or at markbittman.com. They all kind of go to the same place. Finally, Food with Mark Bittman is a part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Check out Airwave's other shows at airwavemedia.com or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mark Bittman, and thanks again for listening to Food. See you next week.